Okie dokie, here we go. We're near the bottom of Tesvav Amud Aleph, Maseches Makos 15a, five lines from the bottom. Let's just briefly recap where we're at, because we have not said goodbye to the sugya. Okay, we have a rule. Let's do it very simple. So stands with us now, so we'll just do a quick review. We know that if the Torah says, thou shalt not... Okay, then generally it means if you transgress it, you get lashed. Fine. If the Torah says, thou shalt not, and then afterwards it says, and thou shall, afterwards, then we say that's a lav hanitak lase, that's a negative commandment that is repaired by a positive commandment, and therefore you will not get lashed, such as you shall not steal, and if you do, return the money to the owner, so that positive mitzvah corrects the negative, and you don't get lashed. Came along Rabbi Yochanan and said, okay, but if you have a positive commandment that could be used after the negative, but it could also apply even before the negative happens, then we look at it as an independent positive mitzvah. And when you transgress the negative, even if you're going to do the assay afterwards, you're going to get lashed. Because the nature of the assay is not to repair the lav, it's an independent assay. Such as, don't go into the temple when you're tummy. And if you are tummy, go out of the temple. So we think, well, that should be a positive. It fixes up the negative. But no, because it's possible the positive without the negative. If you're in the temple in a holy state, and then you became Tameh in the temple, there's a positive mitzvah to leave, even though it's not fixing up a negative. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's big insight, that although the positive can happen after the negative, it's still not considered a repair of the negative, and you will get lashed for it.
So suppose if you are in the temple, and then you become Tameh, you go out.
That's it.
That time you get lashes.
No.
You don't get, right.
No, that's fine.
Only if your tummy, you came in and then you went out, then you get lashes. No
matter. Correct.
Okay, got it.
And if you're in the temple and you become tummy, and they tell you to get out and you don't get out,
yes, then you're lashed.
Then you'd be tummy, you'd be lashed.
Right.
But it's possible to get out, do the pasmas, and not get lashed.
Right. Yeah.
Then and that is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. You will get lashed. Now, we thought maybe he changed his mind, that you won't get lashed, because there was a case of the man who rapes the woman, where there's a negative transgression. He may not divorce her, and then there's a positive that seems to be independent, where the positive is he has to marry her. Now, he marries her before he divorces her. Yeah. He marries her first, but then if he should divorce her, he has to marry her again.
Yeah.
Should he get lashed? Well, according to the rule of Yochanan, he should get lashed because the positive mitzvah can be done independently. He has to marry her, regardless of ever having divorcing her. But why is it not come with lashes? Because since it says that she has to be married to him forever, so that indicator seems to suggest that always has to be married to the guy, which means first time and even after divorce, you have to be married. So therefore, it's sort of a positive that is both independent and a repairer, right? That's why you don't get lashed. That's where we're up to after these 4 days of studying. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask one simple question. So simple, the answer is going to be obvious. You'll be able to figure it out. And then the Gemara asks another question that gets us into a very fascinating new way of looking at this whole idea of a lav that repairs an essay. Okay, so back to Rabbi Yochanan. So again, Rabbi Yochanan says, if the positive mitzvah is independent, you will get lashed, correct? Sha'amalei Rav Papa LaRava. So Rav Papa asks Rava, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why should you get lashed in the case where you got that extra assay that's independent? Don't you remember the golden rule we said? Didn't we say that all negative commandments to be lashed must be similar to what? What model? What case? What?
Muzzling.
It has to be similar to muzzling. For example, it has to have an action and things like that. It's got to be similar to muzzling. If it's not similar to muzzling an animal, you wouldn't get lashed, right? Okay, muzzling an animal. is there a positive commandment associated with the negative?
No.
No. All the Torah says is don't muzzle the animal.
Right, nothing.
Now, is there a positive commandment with that? No.
No.
Okay, so didn't we say if you want to get if you get lashed, it has to be just like muzzling, right? So then why should you get lashed if you go in the temple when you're tamei? There's a positive mitzvah that's associated with it, so that's not like muzzling, and therefore you shouldn't be lashed. Okay, let's just read the question, then you guys are going to tell me the answer, because the question is really a hard to understand question. That's going to be the answer. He says, "V'halo dami lave," but the love of going in the temple in a tamei state, and we say you get lashed, that's not like lalav de chasima. It's not like the negative commandment against muzzling. And we said that if to be lashed at a negative commandment has to be similar to the prototype of muzzling. And here it is not similar. Why? Look at the footnote. Since the prohibition against muzzling has no positive commandment associated with it, a prohibition preceded by a positive commandment is dissimilar to the prototype and should therefore not carry the penalty of malchus. Do you hear the question? We said to get lashed, a lav, to get lashed has to be similar to muzzling. For example, if you do a negative prohibition with your mouth, you don't get lashed because it's not an action. So what do we say? Well, you get lashed because there is a negative commandment, period. Doesn't have a positive before. So this has a positive before. It's not like muzzling. That's the question. No takers for the answer.
Still an action.
But it's not similar to muzzling, right? It's more and
there is a commandment to do.
There's no positive commandment in the mitzvah of muzzling.
No, not muzzling.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that's the prototype. Any other lav must be like the prototype. So let's look at the lav of entering the temple in a tamei state. It has a positive commandment that what? To go out afterwards, right? So just like, how about any lav hanitik la'aseh? Good old fashioned, it's not like muzzling. Because muzzling does not have an aseh to fix it up, right? Can't fix it up. There's no positive mitzvah that says go unmuzzle it. Mm-hmm. There is no.
Yeah, but Rabbi, they both can't be undone. Even if you go into the base of Mikdash and you're tamei, you can't undo. You've done inside.
Intentionally, you've done.
You were tamei when you went inside, so even if you leave, that can't be undone. You entered.
No, but it's still saying it's a mitzvah.
All we're saying, the question is saying it's not similar to muzzling because there's a positive action that follows it.
Well, you could take off the muzzle.
Decrease the prolonged avera.
It's too late. But Torah does not say. And there's a positive mitzvah to unmuzzle an animal.
Right.
So there's no assay. There's no assay.
Prevents a prolonged avera.
When you're in the basement, you can leave. That's a positive mitzvah to leave that. But if you walked in, tamei, you
intentionally done it.
Transgressing a positive mitzvah. Because you're supposed to walk out. Right. The
if you guys became tamei when you're in there, then it's a positive mitzvah to walk out. Yeah. If you walk, you're gone.
Right,
yeah, the damage is done. You can't undo that. Right.
Okay.
I may be wrong.
Okay. Well, you're sort of saying the Gemara's way, but you're saying the other side of the coin.
Okay.
So Gemara says, Gemara doesn't understand the question. Amar Leh, he says. What are you talking about? Mishum de kasabe rachmana ase yisera migra gara? Just because God gave an extra positive commandment, should it make it any worse? Should it make it any worse? How is it any worse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Surely a prohibition that has a positive commandment so it is no less severe than an ordinary prohibition, therefore remains punishable by malchus. Why should it be any worse? So if there's no action, you don't get lashed, because that's not as severe as an action. What would you say is a worse crime? A crime that's done with an action or a crime that's done without an action?
With
an action. That's why we say if it doesn't have an action, you don't get lashed. So that made it less of a sin, so therefore you don't get lashed. Right? We said that a positive... we'll get to a minute. But the fact that it's got an extra mitzvah added to it, why should it be any less that you shouldn't lash for it? And And really, the other way of saying is what you said. Because you've already transgressed it anyway, and you can't undo it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's also very good. But that's, so why should it be any worse? So therefore, you should get a last sandwich. So it's got something extra. So it's got more, you got more, so that should make it worse? The Gemara says, wait a minute, if you're going to say that, but what about the class of lavanita glase? If you want to say that already, what about the classic lav shenita glase nami? What about a negative that's followed by a positive, like thou shalt not steal, and the positive is return the money? Do you want to say the same thing? Well, we know we don't. Maybe you want to say, mishum dekosuve rachmona yasi yaser, because there's an extra asi mirga, is any worse? Yeah, it is. It is. So we see an extra asi, don't get lashed. A regular lav anita glase, a regular lav that is followed by an asi, you don't get lashed.
Right.
So we see the extra essay does take away.
Because it does fix it.
And that's more answers. Amarlay says that's different. Hahul in etuke lavudas. That's coming to repair the damage of the lav. But an asi that proceeds does not repair it. And that's really, we came back to full circle over here. That positive commandment, the case of a transgression remedied by a positive commandment, since it can be fulfilled only after the prohibition is violated, such as thou shalt not steal, the positive is return the money. You cannot fulfill the positive before the negative. It's not possible. You didn't steal anything. So therefore, the positive can only be to fix up the negative, therefore you don't get lashed. So it comes to remove the prohibition from the ordinary remedy of Malchus and make the positive commandment its remedy. That is a special function of the positive commandment in such cases. But when this is not the special function of the positive commandment, because it's not going to fix it, the mere addition of it to a prohibition does not detract from the prohibition's malchus liability. So that is the answer to the question. So again, why would you get lashed with a lav that has an independent assay beforehand? The answer is, even though it's not like muzzling, but that additional assay doesn't make it any worse, doesn't make it any different, and therefore you should get lashed. Fine. End of that little discussion. Now the real fun begins. The real fun begins. Okay. Now, we're going back. We're still not leaving Rabbi Yochanan alone. We're still, I'm going to review it one more time because we'll have the question clear. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you have an independent assay involved with this lav, you will still get lashed. And we ask, how is it different by the rapist, where there is an independent assay? When you rape her, you have to marry her. It has nothing to do with divorcing her, right? You have to marry her. But if you divorce her, we said you don't get lashed, right? You don't get lashed. Why don't you get lashed? It's an independent assay. The answer is because the Torah worded that assay that you have to marry her and she has to be married forever to him. It added that. So that makes it not just only independent before, but makes it one that repairs afterwards, right? So it is making a repair, because when the Torah says you have to be married, it makes the repair to that. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to question that last answer of lav. Basically, it's saying it's a lav hanitik la'aseh. It's a lav hanitik la'aseh. So now the Gemara is going to ask a bomb question, as it were, and this goes to the root cause of all lav hanitik laseis. Here becomes a whole new issue. When we say that the Torah gave you a negative prohibition to repair the assay,
how long do you have to do
now that? Does that mean you never can get lashed for it? Let's say again, you stole. Okay, you should get lashed, but the Torah says no. Torah gets an assay, go return it. Fine. So now, what if he doesn't return it?
Wait 5 years.
Wait a minute. Let's think for a minute. What if he doesn't return it? We catch the ganef. Haul him at the court. You know, you should get lashed for what you did, but you know you have a remedy. Pay him back. I said, I don't want him.
Then you get lashed.
Well, guys, I'll pay him back tomorrow.
Next month.
I'll pay it back. I ain't got that. I spent it. Well, come on. I don't have any cash.
Well, how do we sell this labor?
Hold on. I'll pay it next week. My funds are tied up. You know, I have an RSP, and I don't want to give it back. I'm giving it back next month. Well, we're going to lash you. What do you mean? I'm going to fix it up. So this now comes to a huge machlokas in the Gemara as to what defines the point of no return where you can't fix it up anymore. Okay, that's going to be a machlokas. And the buzzwords are bitlo velo bitlo versus chemo velo chemo. That's the buzzwords, and I'll explain what those means. So one opinion says, you know what? You can't lash the guy unless the situation has gone to the point where it's irreparable. You cannot fix it. It's possible that the fellow has done something in which you cannot fix it. Okay, we'll see in a minute where he's done something that he can't fix it anymore. Since he can't fix it anymore, we're now at this where we know he can't fix it. So that's when we lash him, when there's no possibility of it ever being fixed again. Okay? That, and therefore, he could say, I'm going to fix it next week, next week, next week. So when could we really know he hasn't fixed it? I guess when he dies. But then you can't lash him when he's dead. Right? So, in other words, like, we don't do that. We are not a Muslim country, okay? Anyway, so, but another way of saying, well, as long as he still has the chance to fix it, we don't lash him. Only when it's just not possible to do that, okay? Let's say he's supposed to remarry this woman that he divorced, yeah? Right? And what did he do in the interim? He went and married one of her relatives. And now they married one of her relatives. He can't marry her anymore. Uh-huh. Then we lash him.
Yeah, he can't do that.
Because now he can't. He's done something. He can't fix it anymore. So that's called bitlo velo bitlo, meaning bitlo. If he nullifies the ability to fix it up, he gets lashed. Lo bitlo, if he doesn't nullify the possibility, he does not get lashed. That's one rabbi's opinion. Okay? The other rabbi says no. When he does the crime and we bring him into Beis Din, we say, okay, you can fix things up now. Yeah. If you fix it up now, fine. So, return the money now. And now the board is...
Now mean today?
Right, yeah. You're in court.
Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow.
If the guy says, I have to go to the bank and it's not open until tomorrow. Okay, you understand. Immediately. Yeah. Right. Immediately within reason. Yeah. Right. Not that the guy says, no, I just don't want to. I'll do it in a month. No. We're taking you to court now. Now be kimu. Fulfill your obligation. So if you fulfill your obligation, you will not get lashed. Lo kimu, if you don't fulfill it immediately, you get lashed. Even though later you may fix it up, you may pay, but it's too late. You have to do it immediately. This is the big, big argument on every lav hanitik lase, any lav that is repaired by an ase. To what nature? When must the ase be done to undo? Because really, you should get lashed.
Right.
The positive takes away the lashes. Yeah. So when will it take it away?
After you do
so it. So one of them says, when you do it right away, it takes it away. And if you don't do it right away, that was your one chance to take it away, and now you get lashed. Yeah. The other opinion says, well, when I do it, it'll take it away. And as long as I could do it, and you don't know if I'm not going to do it, you can't lash me yet because I could still fix it up. Only when you know I can't fix it up anymore, then you lash it. That's the two sides of the coin. The Gemara is going to say that this answer of Rabbi Yochanan, when he talks about the woman who the rapist must marry and must always be in a state of being married to her, you'll see will only go according to one of these opinions and not the other opinion, which will explain why. And therefore, how's he going to be answering according to the other opinion? You want to have an answer fit according to everybody. We'll only work according to one. Right now, you don't see how that connects, so I'll have to explain it. So now that I've done a little bit of outside explanation, now we're going to get into the Gemara, and we'll see the question. Gemara asks, your answer that you gave for Rabbi Yochanan about the woman, that the rapist does not get lashed, because there's a constant obligation to marry her. Ha, nicha, that is a good answer. Leman domer bitlo velo bitlo. The one who says that as long as you haven't nullified it, you don't get lashed. But once you nullify it, you get lashed. All right, this is all everything that I told you. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's all coming up. Okay, according to this view, when he says he nullified it and he did not nullify it, bitlo bitlo, the transgressor is not in kermalkas for a prohibition that has in it a positive commandment unless he does something that makes it impossible ever to fulfill the positive commandment, right? But if it's not, he who makes it impossible to fulfill the positive commandment, then he does not incur malchus, even though the positive commandment is never fulfilled. Now, here's our case here, where he answers about the rapist. Why it makes sense. For example, the ones, the rapist, married and divorced his victim, and then prohibited himself. Now he could remarry her, right? They say, okay, you divorce her. Now remarry her. Well, think about it. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe the next day. Okay, that's fine. But when what? Where am I? For example, the ones married and divorced and then prohibited himself from remarrying by means of a, let's say, a unilateral vow. Oh, that's a better one. What makes a vow? Makes a vow that I will never be with her again. Well, if he makes a vow that he'll never be with her again, that's it. Can't fix it up anymore. Let's not get into the question you could nullify the vow. Let's not go there now. Let's not go. The Gemara's going to deal with it later. We're not going to deal with that now. All right? By declaring his vow, he has nullified the possibility of redressing his sin by remarrying, and he therefore incurs malchus. Or if he did not declare such a vow, but she died before he remarried her, he would not incur malchus, since it was not his action that made it impossible for him to remarry her. This view understands the negation of the positive commandment as the finalization of the prohibition's violation. Only when you create a situation where you can't fix it, at that point you finalize the negative violation. Thus, unless the transgressor actively nullifies the positive commandment, he has not fully violated the prohibition and can't receive lashes for it. So it's very good. What was the answer for Rabbi Yochanan? Why do you not get lashed over here? Because you could do the positive independently, yeah, but it says he's got to marry to him forever. Forever means you can fix it up. So it's very good. You're not going to get lashed. He can forever fix it up, can't he? According to the view, that's if we say nullified and nullified. So it's very good why he doesn't get lashed. Because he can fix it up still. But what's the other opinion? That says, no, we take him to court, he has to do it right away, right? That's the view of he fulfilled it and did not fulfill it, right? The transgressor must fulfill the positive commandment in order to avoid malchus. This is the court warns the transgressor to fulfill the corrective positive commandment or suffer malchus. If he fulfills the positive commandment immediately, he avoids malchus. Otherwise, the court administers malchus him, even though it is still possible to fulfill the positive commandment at a later date. This view understands the prohibition as having been fully violated immediately upon the transgression. Fully violated. The positive commandment is merely a means of substituting performance of that commandment for the penalty of malchus. But if the transgressor fails to fulfill the positive commandment upon being warned to do so by the court administers malchus to him. Okay? So now, let's see what's going on over here. So we said, so this answer that we gave for Rabbi Yochanan was way back 32. It's all good according to him. The first opinion we said, why? By interpreting the words, remember we said the extra words, all his days, he's married to her all her days. That was the answer we said just today. As indicating a special positive commandment that the ones remarry his victim and not allow her divorce to remain all his days. Rav in effect grant him unlimited time to fulfill his positive commandment to remarry her. For as long as he does not undertake an inviolable vow forbidding himself to remarry her, he can still remarry her and therefore make it that his divorce of her was not for all his days. Right? She has to be married to him all his days. Okay, so as long as I can't be divorced her, so I have time to fix it up. That answer works if you hold bitl v'lo bitl. Now, we come to the crush point. Elo l'manda omer, but the one who says kimu v'lo kimu, the one who says he has to fulfill it right away. Really, he's transgressed right away. He should get lashed right away. The only way out, right now, marry her. So if that's the case, my Ikala Meimar, what are you going to say there? Because then, how can the statement in Rav and Ravim that the Ones who divorces his victim has all his days to remedy the transgression? He doesn't have all his days. How can he reconcile with the view that the transgressor incurs malchus if he fails to perform the Pasuk commandment as soon as the court orders him to do so? Not so. Not all the days. He only got a couple minutes to be married to her. Not all the days.
In Beit Din.
Right? So we're saying, well, he has all his days. He can always fix it up. He can't always fix it up. He only fixes up for that minute. That's it. And not further than that. So this answer of Yochanan says, well, it's an independent, it's a one that fixes up, and all the days, you have all the days to fix it up. You don't have all the days. If you say he nullifies it, then he has all the days to fix it up. But if you say that he has to do it right away, he doesn't have all the days to fix it up. So Ma'ika LeMeimar, what's going to be the answer? You know, so it only works according to one of the two opinions.
That's he married to her for all his days.
Right? Follow? That's the problem. You know what I was going to answer?
No,
guess what? Guess what? Reb Yochanan, you're asking on Reb Yochanan, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Reb Yochanan happens to be the rabbi who says that you have all the time in the world to do it.
Wow.
So he's consistent with himself. He doesn't have to be like everybody. If his opinion, if you're a lower level rabbi, then you got to be like every higher rabbi. But he is a big rabbi. He himself says only if you nullify it. So why do you ask a question? He's consistent with his own position. It only works according to that opinion. But he is that opinion. You want him to take the other guy's opinion too? So therefore it doesn't work. And that's more answers. Midi ha-taima. Yeah, but that whole reason, who is that opinion that says bitlo velo bitlo? It is Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan is fine. Rabbi Yochanan is fine. He's consistent with his position. Mm-hmm. And how do we know that? Because we now are going to bring up Raisa where we see Rabbi Yochanan's position as opposed to a differing rabbi in trying to understand a Mishnah or a Braisa. Ha'amarle Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Rabbi Yochanan said to one who is teaching Braisas, we'll see what the Braisa is in a minute. A Braisa was taught to Rabbi Yochanan, and the Braisa was written inconsistently. And Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, you can't have it the way you're teaching it. It's inconsistent. You got to fix it up. Fix it up by using the words bitlo and lo bitlo, which is his position. As it says, he says to the Tana, he says, fix up the words. Tani, write like this. Bitlo chayiv. If you nullify it right, then you're chayiv. You nullify the positive. Velo bitlo. And if you don't nullify it, putter. So he says that position. Now, what is that based on? Now we come to the original source. Ditani Tana Kameh Rabbi Yochanan. There was a rabbi who taught brises in front of Rabbi Yochanan. And look what he taught him. This is the mistake. He's teaching a mistake in brisa that Rabbi Yochanan's going to tell him to amend right away. Brisa says, whoop, let's do it again. Brisa says, "Kol mitzvah lo sase sheyesh makumase." Any negative that is followed by a positive that is meant to correct it. Kiyem, if he fulfills the ase right away, sheba, you fulfill it right away, potter, you're potter. Bitel ase sheba, if you nullify the ase, chayiv, you're chayiv. Well, that doesn't make sense. You're going polarically, right? If you fulfill it, you don't get lashed. If you mess it up, you do get lashed. That's not consistent. Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't write it that way. No. Why is it? Let's back it up one. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said to the guy who was teaching the Braisa, my comrade, what did you say? What are you saying? You can't say this. Kiyem potter, right? If you do it, you're potter. Well, then obviously, lo kiyem chayiv. If you don't do it, you're chayiv right away. It's nothing to do with you nullifying it, right? But then but that's the implication. But then the second part says, bitl chayiv. Only when you nullify it, you're chayiv. Lo bitl, if you don't nullify it, you're potter. So it's not consistent, right? Mm-hmm. If you're saying if I do it right away, I don't get lashed, it implies if I don't do it right away, I do get lashed. But then you said if you nullify, you get lashed, it implies if you don't nullify it, you don't get lashed. It's inconsistent. Therefore, Tani, therefore, change the words of the Braisa and write it, bitlo velo bitlo. If you nullify it, you get lashed. And if you don't nullify it, you don't get lashed. And that's the way it should be. And that's his position. If you nullify, you make the lav not possible, do you get lashed. If you didn't nullify it, you can still fix it, you don't get lashed. So he's consistent with his position. And Reb Shimon ben Lakish, who heard the brisa, he says fix it up the other way. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omer, rather change it, kimu velo kimu. Say kimu, if he does it right away, he doesn't get lashed. And if he doesn't do it array, he doesn't get lashed.
If he doesn't, he does get lashed.
So you see, there's two rabbis who are arguing this whole point. When do you get lashed? When you don't do the positive. So Reb Yochanan's position is only when you actively nullify the ability to do the positive. So therefore, his answer backed by the rapist makes sense, because we said can always marry her. Yeah, he could always marry her. He'll never get lashed, because he always, whenever he wants to, he can marry her. And if she dies, well, he won't get lashed either. So that answer is consistent, and that's how we answer the question on Rabbi Yochanan. Now that we came to here, tomorrow's next step is, what's the source of this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reb Shimon ben Lakish, about, well, why does one say if you nullify it right away, you get lashed? And the other one says, no, you get lashed right away if you don't do it. What's that machlokas depend on? Yeah. In other words, we've now said there's a machlokas. When will you get lashed for not adhering to the assay? So what's that argument dependent on? What's the logic? That becomes tomorrow's topic. Perfect.